Once again, I'd like to welcome you. Good morning. We're in the middle of a series of messages that we call the characteristics of grace. There's nine messages, and we're on the fifth one this morning. We've spoken already in the first message about regenerating grace, where our Lord and Savior is the one who regenerates the dead man. We are dead in trespasses and sin. We must be given life. And then we spoke also of justifying grace. We are justified in the Lord, our Savior. By His grace, He went to the cross, paid the price for our sins, justifying us before God, just as if we had never sinned. Followed that with sanctifying grace, which is setting us apart, making us holy. We are set apart and holy in Christ, nothing in that we have done ourselves. And then we saw preserving grace. And folks, as it is with all sovereign grace, it is grace bestowed upon a certain people, chosen before the world was created, given to the Son by God the Father, because of the eternal covenant that was made between the great three and one. Before anything was ever created, God the Father gave God the Son a people. And God the Son loved those people, and He gave Himself. He became flesh and walked this earth perfectly, fulfilling the law completely, establishing a righteousness for His people who have no righteousness of their own. And then the Holy Spirit comes to us when we are yet dead in our sins and trespasses and gives life to His people. This is a people that were chosen before the world was created, given to the Son by God the Father, because of that eternal covenant. And all grace is for the Son's sake, because of what He did on that cross just over 2,000 years ago. Because the Lord gave Himself to be our substitute, God is gracious to those that belong to Him. Now today our subject is instructing grace, and I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to where we left off last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now when I was called to this ministry, when I affirmed my calling with you folks of this ministry just a few weeks back, I declared that I was not being called to tell you how to live. I admit that I am not qualified to be a counselor of any kind. No, my calling is to preach the gospel, the good news. I speak of Him who is the mighty counselor. We read in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I tell you here this morning, the Word of God will instruct, or counsel as you may put it, a child of God. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, we read this, these words, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Now, I cannot know the hearts of men. I can only refer you to the one who does know the hearts of men. That's why every preacher who is sent of God will tell his hearers, God must speak to the heart. If all you hear is the voice of the preacher, then you've missed it. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's a personal salvation. God Almighty comes to His people by His Spirit, cuts away that old stony heart that we were born with, that we came into this world with, the heart full of sin, the heart that says, I shall not have this one rule over me. He cuts that heart out, removes it completely, and gives us a heart in the day of His power. Gives us a heart that is willing. Willing to love, cherish, and adore Him because He first loved cherished and adored us. In John 6:45 we read, it was written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Every man that therefore hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now you say, no, wait a minute, John. There's a lot of people who have heard of this one who's called Jesus. Really? Really? How many pastors do you think are out there in the world today speaking of the sovereign grace of our Lord and Savior? Not as many as you might think. There are many who are speaking of a Jesus. There are many who are speaking of what they call a Jesus. But their Jesus is a weak one who cannot thwart his own power over the will of men. He has submitted men to their own will, given men the power over himself. Folks, that is not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture is all powerful. All power in heaven and earth and under the earth belong to him. If he wills it, it shall be done. That's the Jesus that we speak of here at Rescue. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, we read this, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, God instructs his people. Would you join me in reading verses 1 through 8? But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do. As do others, I apologize. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith. What is a breastplate? In the days of old, men would take steel armor of some kind and they would make a plate that would fit over their breast, and they would strap it on the front, and it would spare them the damage if they got hit by an arrow or maybe a spear, and they couldn't, it wouldn't do damage to their inner organs. It's a shield used to protect our heart and all of our other important organs, such as our stomach, our lungs, and so on. A breastplate of faith would be a shield of the soul, something to protect the soul. We are instructed by God to protect our very souls with the faith we have, the trust we have, our belief in who it is that keeps us. And that faith is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ the Lord, the hope of glory. The Lord of glory must reveal these truths of heaven to the hearts of men, for it is not possible for the dead to hear anything. Imagine somebody standing in a graveyard and talking to a bunch of cemetery stones, headstones. Do you think anybody under that ground is listening to them? No. Dead men can't hear anything. To hear the preaching of God's word, one must have new ears, ears of the heart. We speak the words, but God must give the increase. God must reveal these truths to the soul. In Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27, we read this, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Matthew 16, 15 through 17, we read this. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Speaking to his apostles, he wants to know, what do you think that I am? He just asked them a moment ago, well, what do the people say that I am? And the people said the typical thing. They didn't see Christ as God Almighty. No, they saw him as a possible prophet, one who spoke good things, one who did good deeds. And our Lord turned to his disciples who had been walking closely with him and watching him and learning from him these things. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's the key, folks. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I can talk all I can standing here at the front of this congregation, but it must be our Lord and Savior. God the Father must reveal who the Son is to his people. Flesh and blood, we talk about the Lord and Savior. We want to tell you who he is. He's not this weak Christ, this weak Jesus that the world is speaking of. No, he's all sovereign ruler over everything. We tell you that he was made flesh. He came to this world. He humbled himself and became flesh that he could walk perfectly for us and establish a righteousness upon this earth. But more than that, so that he could go to that cross and pay the debt that you and I owe. And pay the debt for his people. This one who is perfect. This one who created all things was made sin, that you and I would be made righteous in him. I can't even wrap my mind around that. First off, that God would become flesh. The creator of everything would become one as the created. And then he would suffer the things of the flesh. He hungered. He thirsted. He was tempted, yet without sin. And that he would go to the cross and receive the curse. For everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed. He would receive the curse that you and I were born with. The curse of sin. Folks, if you are one for whom God the Father has chosen to be merciful to, he shall instruct you through his word in the ways of heaven. We read the things of Scripture easily enough. I would understand if you couldn't read it all and someone had to read for you, but you would still hear the word of God. We know what's right from wrong. The whole world knows what's right from wrong. Those who are evil know that they're evil. The problem is, those who are evil don't know that they're evil. Look at verse 9 through 22 with me, if you would. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep, that we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Do you hear the instructions of our Lord speaking to your heart? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I don't know how anyone could read what we just read and not see that our God is very, very clear on the way that we should walk in this world. The problem is, we cannot walk the way we should. Oh, I know a child of God wants to. I know a child of God has a deepest desire to earnestly try, but this flesh is warring within our souls, within us. It's warring with our spirit. Our spirit desires to be like Christ, but our flesh wants to do something else. How often do we fall and stumble in that flesh? Do you realize that if we didn't, how quickly we would become self-righteous? Isn't that what the world is? I don't sin like he does. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm okay. People of God, we know this war that battles within us because we see our sin. As Paul wrote, my sin is ever before me. Folks, this battle is not going to get any better. But we have the hope of glory dwelling within us. The hope of our Savior being our Savior and taking every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we'll commit this very day, every sin that we'll commit until that day where He takes us home, He has taken that sin to the cross and our Lord sees it no more. The Lord of glory must reveal these truths to the hearts of men. We deeply desire to walk according to His instructions. Oh, what peace we have knowing that when we stumble, our Savior has covered it for us. It does not give us any desire to continue in sin. No, God forbid. But what joy we have when we look to our Savior who walked perfectly in our stead, establishing a righteousness for us, taking all of this awful sin of ours into the grave and burying it from His sight forever. Oh, how great is the grace of God to His people. Turn back to the book of John, if you would, please, chapter 16. Our Savior, He draws the heart of His loved ones unto Himself. And He teaches us about Himself through the preaching of His Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we read this. Paul, writing to the Romans church, says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" I say once again, men speak to the ears on our head, but God must speak to the hearts of men. In Matthew 11:25 through verse 27, we read this, "And at that time Jesus answered, and He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. This is the position the Holy Spirit fills. The Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me, is what we sing, is it not? Are you with me in John chapter 16? Join me in verse 8, will you? And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now when Jesus walked the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples, it says he expounded. He taught. Remember what we read a moment ago? All God's people, all God's elect, all of those chosen of God before the world began, all of those whose names are written in the book of life, shall be taught of God. This is the work of the Spirit. Through the preaching of His Word, the Spirit takes the words from His ministers and He applies it to the hearts of His people. When I was sitting in this pew hearing the Lord speak to me through the first time through a minister of the gospel, and many of you have experienced this very same thing when you began to first hear the word of the Lord preached to your heart. And that minister pointed his finger at me for almost an hour. Now afterwards he swore up and down. He said, I'm telling you, John, I was talking to the whole congregation, but folks, I'm telling you, he spoke to me. That was the Spirit. That personal experience that I spoke of a few moments ago in the beginning of the message. That personal experience where the Spirit comes to the heart. The new heart. The heart of life. Not that dead heart that we're born with. Not that heart that is dead and trespasses and sins. But a new heart that believes. A new heart that believes the Lord, Savior. The Word of God. You know, it says, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. Did you know that faith is the gift of God? You cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless God Almighty has given you life to believe. Dead men don't do anything. When our Lord walked that road, He taught. He expounded. He revealed to those disciples. He revealed to them the things from all the Old Testament scriptures concerning Himself. He said, beginning with Moses. Beginning with Moses. All of those things that these men had learned throughout their life. The laws of Moses. Our Lord and Savior took them to those scriptures and showed them who the things of Him. And then it tells us that their hearts burned within. They burned within as they heard the word of God. This burning was the Spirit working within, making the word effectual, a personal experience. So let's close this morning's message by seeking our Savior's instructions on how to examine ourselves, shall we? Whether we are in the faith. Again, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a great verse for us to measure ourselves with, to examine ourselves with. Do we believe in Him? Do we believe, and the key word here is whosoever. Who are the whosoever? Do we believe in the total depravity of men? Do we believe God's word when He says all men are dead, come into this world dead in trespasses and sin? We come from our mother's womb speaking lies. There is nothing but wickedness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do we believe the depravity of man? Do we believe in unconditional election? Do we believe that our Lord and Savior chose us before the world was, before we ever had a chance to do any good or evil? Before, and without any condition of anything that we would be. I chose this one. I chose that one. I passed by this one. I passed by that one. Did the Lord choose Pharaoh? Did He raise him up to destroy him? Because he was chosen? Well, he was chosen. He was chosen to be destroyed to show God's power in salvation. Do we believe God's word when it comes to limited atonement? People say that God loves the whole world. Folks, I'm telling you, if God loved the whole world, every person alive that ever walked this earth would have been saved. For the God of Scriptures is not a failure. He made atonement for His people. He shed His own blood for their sins that they would be paid in full. To say that His blood was shed and that you would still go to hell is to say that His blood was worth nothing. That the atonement was not made for some. And that's exactly correct. Limited atonement. Do you believe? Has God given you the faith to believe in irresistible grace? Yet when I ran from God, by His grace, He turned me. He turned me unto Himself. When I was yet running from God, He brought me unto Himself. Yet when I could not walk, lame as Mephibosheth, when I was lame, He made me walk. Do you believe in perseverance of the saints? Folks, if you belong to God, He shall have you. You cannot lose your salvation. There are no empty seats in heaven. When our Lord does a work, He does it perfectly. If He could lose just one, you could not call Him Lord. Examine yourself on what you believe. Has God instructed you in His grace the truths of His word? One of those ways you can tell is, does your heart burn? Does it burn to hear more about your Savior? and less about men. Is it your most earnest desire to turn from the vain things of this world, to turn from the flesh, to turn from what men do, and turn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I leave you with these final words from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a work, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you have something to boast in? Throw it out. If it has anything to do with you, your flesh, throw it out. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen.